Okay, so today we're going deep on the Dickerson Center for Civic Responsibility.
To DCCR.
Yeah, the DCCR. And we've got a pretty good look at them just from their website.
It's a really interesting organization.
It is. It is. And they're all about this idea of educating and empowering and motivating the next generation.
Future leaders.
Yeah, future servant leaders, right through these authentic democratic experiences.
That's right. And that's a key part of what we're going to try to uncover here. Like, what does that actually look like? You know, what does that mean for how they approach this idea of building influential citizenship?
Right. Because, I mean, we could look at any organization and say, okay, they're all about, you know, X, Y, and Z. But what does that really mean in practice? And how are they actually doing it in a way that's unique to them?
Exactly. And how effective are they at it?
Right. Right. And so I guess to kick things off, maybe we should start with their mission statement, because I think that's always a good foundation. You know, it's like the North Star for an organization.
Definitely. I mean, it kind of gives you that big picture view of what they're aiming for.
Right. And for the DCCR, their core mission is to cultivate these future servant leaders.
Mm-hmm.
By giving them hands-on democratic experiences and the knowledge they need to be active citizens.
Oh, okay.
Now, I mean, you know, the term servant leadership that jumps out at me.
Hmm.
What does that suggest to you in the context of their programs?
You know, it's interesting because I think that term servant leadership really kind of flips the script on how we traditionally view leadership.
Oh, how so?
Well, it emphasizes leading through service to others, right? So it's about putting the needs of the community first. So for the DCCR, you know, it probably means that their programs aren't just about like teaching civic concepts in a vacuum. You know, it's about instilling this sense of responsibility and a desire to actually like contribute positively.
So it's less about, you know, being the leader at the front of the pack and more about how can you use your skills and your knowledge to lift other people up.
Exactly. It's about empowering others to lead as well.
Okay, yeah. And their website mentions they've been doing this for 13 years, providing service learning mentoring and these hands-on opportunities for students from kindergarten all the way through college.
Wow, that's a pretty significant track record.
Yeah. I mean, that's not just like a, you know, flash in the pan kind of thing that suggests that they've really been committed to this idea for a long time.
And it probably means they've learned a lot along the way. You know, 13 years is a lot of time to refine their methods and figure out what really works.
Right. And build relationships, you know, in the community and with schools and really get a sense of what the needs are.
Absolutely. I mean, that kind of longevity speaks volumes about their dedication to fostering civic responsibility over multiple generations.
And you know, what's really striking to me is their connection to the legacy of Reverend and Mrs. H.L. Dickerson. They explicitly state they were founded to carry forward those values of committed community servant leadership.
Right. So it's not just this abstract ideal. It's rooted in the real life examples of people who actually live those principles.
Exactly. And I'm curious how you think that historical grounding shakes their work today. You
know,
does it influence the types of programs they offer or the way they approach things?
Well, I think if we connect this to the bigger picture, grounding their work in this specific legacy gives them a really strong sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a mission statement. It's tied to real people and real values.
Right.
And that probably influences everything from, you know, the curriculum they use to the guest speakers they bring in.
Right. It's like they have this foundation to build on.
Yeah.
You know, they're not starting from scratch. They're carrying forward something that's already been established.
Yeah. And I think that gives them a lot of credibility and a real sense of authenticity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they also talk about bringing a unique cultural and historical perspective to their initiatives. And they believe this is key to youth empowerment advocacy and ultimately getting more young people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, when they talk about this unique perspective, what might they be referring to?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's important to consider the historical context of Dallas and the demographics of the community they serve.
Okay.
So this unique perspective could involve, you know, highlighting the contributions and experiences of groups that have been historically marginalized in civic life.
Right. So not just presenting like a, you know, a standard textbook version of history,
mm-hmm.
but really bringing in those diverse voices and experiences.
Exactly. And I think by doing that, they can empower young people from similar backgrounds, you know, to see themselves as active participants and shaping their communities and being a part of the democratic process.
And how might that actually translate into action? You know, how would they actually bring that perspective to life in their programs?
Well, I think it could be through a variety of ways, right? They could be very intentional about the curriculum they choose, the guest speakers they invite to talk to the students, or even the focus of their service learning projects, you know, like really making sure that they're reflecting the diversity of their community.
Right.
Making it relevant to the students' lives and experiences so they can see themselves in those stories and those roles.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's move on to what they actually do, because I think that's where it gets really interesting. You know, they have this mission, this vision, and then there's the actual work they're doing on the ground.
Right, right.
And they've got this range of programs. Some of them sound exactly like what you'd expect. You know, like Rocking the Youth Vote clearly aims to boost voter participation among young people.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's catchy. It's got that energy, you know. And then there's the Youth Ambassador Program. What do you think might be the focus there?
I would imagine that program is all about developing those core leadership skills, you know, giving young people the tools and the opportunities to represent the DCCR and really engage their peers in these civic activities.
So it's kind of like training the next generation of civic leaders.
Yeah, exactly. It could involve public speaking, you know, peer mentoring, taking on leadership roles within the organization itself, you know, really creating those champions for civic engagement.
And they also mentioned Ruby Young Elementary, which suggests that they've got programs reaching even the youngest members of the community through partnerships with schools.
Oh, wow. Starting them young.
Yeah. And I think that's really smart, you know, because if you can introduce these concepts of community and responsibility early on.
Right. It becomes a natural part of their development.
Exactly. It's not something that feels foreign or imposed on them later. It's something they've been engaging with their whole lives.
And it builds that foundation for them to become active citizens later on.
Right. And then there's this one program that kind of threw me for a loop. They have Kids in the Kitchen.
Kids in the Kitchen.
Yeah. And I thought, what does that have to do with civic responsibility?
That's interesting. I mean, on the surface, it doesn't seem like a direct connection.
Right. But maybe there's something deeper there. Like, what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think it might point to a broader interpretation of what it means to be an engaged citizen. Right. No. So Kids in the Kitchen could be about teamwork, problem solving, taking responsibility, you know, all these skills that are transferable to civic life. It could also be about connecting with the community through food, understanding food systems, or even promoting healthy habits, you know, which is a form of community well-being.
Oh, that's an interesting angle. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It suggests maybe they're not just focused on, you know, the traditional aspects of civic engagement, like voting and government, but really taking this holistic approach to youth development.
So it's about building well-rounded individuals who then become well-rounded citizens.
Exactly.
Okay. And then they've also got a Model Citizen Summer Camp and South Dallas Reads. And again, these kind of point to this potentially broader approach.
It's like they're trying to nurture all these different aspects of a young person's growth.
Right. So it's not just about, you know, knowing how to vote. It's about being a good community member, being a good person, having these essential skills.
And all of that ultimately contributes to a more informed and engaged citizenry.
Right. And it's exciting to see that they're fostering innovation.
Yeah.
And they've got these two new student-led initiatives. One is a high school team developing an interactive website to engage young people on important issues.
Oh, wow. So they're really leveraging technology there.
Yeah. And then the other one is a middle school group partnering with their local government on a legacy project for their school.
That's amazing, giving them real-world experience.
Yeah, and these sound like really direct applications of those authentic democratic experiences they're talking about.
Definitely. I mean, it's one thing to learn about civic engagement in a classroom, but it's another thing entirely to actually go out and do it, you know?
Right. And it's not just doing it in some kind of, you know, artificial setting. It's like they're actually tackling real issues that affect their community.
And they're empowered to take ownership of these projects, you know?
Exactly. It's not adults telling them what to do. It's like they're identifying the problems and coming up with solutions.
It's real empowerment.
Yeah. And they also recently held a youth pitch competition in Dallas where over 100 people saw 14 students present their ideas. And the goal there was to encourage young people to really champion voter participation for the upcoming November election.
That's so cool.
And to me, this really brings their mission into focus. You know, it's like, okay, you've got this big picture idea of building civic leaders, but then you see it in action with a specific event like this.
Yeah, it's not just theoretical. It's happening right now.
Exactly. And it seems like their work is gaining some recognition because their website mentions that they received a nonprofit and corporate citizenship award in 2024 for outstanding innovation.
That's huge. I mean, that kind of validation from the outside world must be a real boost.
Yeah, and it's not just like a pat on the back. You know, it lends them credibility. It helps them attract support and build partnerships.
It tells people that they're doing something, right? You know, that their methods are effective.
Right, right. And they also talk about their Voting Empowerment Collective and Voter Impact Collective initiatives. And the tagline for the latter is, turn your ideas into action at the polls.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's so action-oriented. It's not just about, like, you know, going and checking a box. It's about, like, your vote actually has power to make change.
Exactly. And I think that kind of messaging is so important for engaging a younger demographic, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes it can feel like your vote doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but they're really emphasizing that it does, that you can have a real impact.
Right. Okay. So now I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the historical context they provide, because on their website, they dedicate a whole section to Freedmantown.
Freedmantown.
Yeah. And the story of Katie Johnson Warren from Dr. Njoki McElroy's memoir, 1012 Natchez.
Interesting.
So why do you think they've chosen to highlight this specific piece of local history? You know, why is this important to them?
Well, I think by focusing on Freedmantown, which, you know, is a place that really embodies the resilience and the self-determination of formerly enslaved people, they're drawing this direct line between the historical struggles for empowerment and the importance of civic engagement today.
Okay.
You know, it provides a powerful context for understanding why active participation in democracy matters, especially for marginalized communities.
Right. It's like they're saying, look, this is not just some abstract idea. This is something that people fought for and that we need to continue to fight for.
Exactly. And the story of Katie Johnson Warren is so intriguing.
Yeah. So she apparently had this ability to navigate segregated social circles due to her clairvoyance.
Her clairvoyance.
Yeah, which is a pretty unique anecdote. You know, it's not something you hear every day.
No, not at all.
So what do you think they want us to take away from her story?
You know, what's interesting to me is that despite these connections she had with the white community, she remained deeply involved in the black community, you know, through her church, her college, her fraternal organization. So it's like she was able to bridge these different worlds while staying rooted in her own community's aspirations.
Right. And the website even connects this to W.E.B. Du Bois' idea of the duality of the black experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Suggesting that she embodied this ability to exist in and navigate different spheres without losing her connection to her core identity.
So it's not just a story about one woman, it's a story about the black experience in America.
Exactly. And the challenges and the triumphs of navigating a society that's not always equitable or just.
And her ability to do that successfully, you know, to operate within different systems while still remaining committed to the upliftment of her community.
Right. And the website emphasizes that for black people, after emancipation, progress was a collective endeavor focused on education, ownership, and service. And they state that grandmother Katie understood.
Powerful.
Yeah. And they conclude with this really resonant line, as long as we call her name, her spirit remains.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, me too. It's like they're saying that her legacy lives on through their work.
Yeah, and that the spirit of community, empowerment, and service that she embodied continues to inspire them.
Exactly. So it's not just a historical anecdote. It's something that's very much alive and driving their mission today.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I think if we've learned anything from this deep dive, it's that the Dickerson Center for Civic Responsibility is deeply committed to nurturing the next generation of engaged citizens. And they're doing it through this wide array of programs that emphasize both knowledge and hands-on experience.
And they're doing it in a way that's rooted in their community's history and values.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes them so unique and so effective. You know, they're not just coming in with some, you know, cookie cutter approach. They're really tapping into the specific needs and the rich history of their community.
And that's what makes them so inspiring.
Right. And it makes you think about, you know, all the different ways that people can contribute to making their communities better. You know, it doesn't have to be this grand sweeping thing. It can be small acts of service. It can be mentoring a young person. It could be volunteering your time.
It can be educating yourself about the issues and making informed choices.
Mm. Exactly. And I think the Dickerson Center is a great example of how all of those individual efforts can add up to create real lasting change.
I agree.
So if you're listening and you're interested in learning more about the Dickerson Center or maybe even getting involved, you can visit their website at dccr.org, or you can reach them by email at info@dccr.org or by phone at 214-773-0522.
And their physical address is 3662 West Camp Wisdom Suite, 200 Dallas, Texas, 75237.
And they're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
They also have a fundraising goal of $10,000 for North Texas Giving Day. So if you're interested in supporting their work, you can find more information on their website.
Yeah, and every little bit helps. So yeah. Even if it's just a few dollars, you know, it all goes towards supporting their mission.
And to be sure to follow them on social media to stay updated on their activities and programs.
Yeah, and I think the takeaway here is that, you know, civic engagement is not just something that happens, you know, in Washington, D.C. or in the halls of government.
Right.
It's something that starts right here in our own communities.
And it's something that we can all be a part of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone to think about, you know, what's one small thing you can do today to make your community a better place?
It all starts with us.
It does.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for being here.
It was a great conversation.
It was.